explain. Okay, what I want to do today is I want to understand a concept that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. And this concept is very, very prevalent in the Jewish world. It's something which I think many people are familiar with, especially if you have spent any time in Israel. And that's this idea of, Rachel, who wants to come to the waiting room? There you go. And that is this idea of Rachel, of Rachel. Rachel mevaka al baneha. That Rachel literally cries for her children. Like, where did that come from? Why is Yirmiyahu, and this again is a well-known passage in Yirmiyahu, it's a song, I think it has like 12 different tunes to it, which, you know, if it has like 12 tunes, it's like really important, right? Like defines what's important in Tanakh. Jewish singers said, oh, we have to make a tune to these words because, you know, they're very important. We referenced it on Rosh Hashanah. It's referenced in the Haftorah and Rosh Hashanah. And it's something which, you know, you've been to Kever Rachel before. You ever been to, Rachel's tomb? It's also, you go there, you visit, and you see many people crying. And it's also, it sort of stands out that Rachel, she's like not buried with the rest of the family, so to speak, right? She's buried on the way. And where did this come from? That Yirmiyahu HaNavi evokes this idea of Rachel Mevaka al Baneha. Okay, so that's what I want to do today. Good morning, everybody. So what I want to do this morning is I want to deal with that well-known passage in Yirmiyahu, in Jeremiah, and I want to actually uncover it and unpack it and see maybe if there's a tremendous insight that Yirmiyahu is trying to teach us if we listen and we pay very close attention to his words. So please join me in jumping all the way to Yirmiyahu, which is over here. Okay, there's a share screen. Hopefully you can see it in front of you. If not, I'll just read it. Here it is. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, famous words, chapter 31, verse 31 in Jeremiah. Ko amar Hashem. This is what Hashem says. Ko birama nishma. There is a voice that is being heard up on high. Nihi b'chi samrurim. Right? The sound, this voice of this crying over and over again. Rachel mevaka al baneha. That Rachel is crying for her children. Me'ana lehinachem. She's not able to be comforted. Al baneha. For her children. Ki einenu. Because they are not there. Ko amar Hashem. Thus says God. Mini kolech mibechi, please, enough, stop crying. Veinayich midima, in your eyes from tearing, from crying. Ki yesh sachar lefulaseich, there is merit for your actions. Neum Hashem, says Hashem. Veshavu mi'eretz oyev, and the Jewish people will return back from the land of the enemy, and we'll just end it. Veyesh tikva lachriseich, and there's hope at the end. Neum Hashem, veshavu vanim ligvulam, and your children will return to its borders. Beautiful, beautiful words of the image of Rachel, the image of one of the matriarchs of the Jewish people crying for her children and crying and wailing for her children. And there, I'm sure you're familiar with the famous passage. One of the reasons why Rachel is not buried in Masa Machpelah, but she's buried Derech Ephrata. She's buried out there. So when the Jewish people would go into exile in Galus, and they'd be exiled from the land of Israel, and they would cry, they'd be in tears, and there'd be a sense of mourning. Rachel herself would cry for Am Yisrael as they literally leave the land of Israel, and they tell them, they give them hope, saying, don't worry, Veshavu, you'll come back to the land of the enemy, and one day the Jewish people will return home, as we are witnessing during this modern era, the fulfillment of these words of Yirmiyahu. And that's why people, you know, if a male makes aliyah, after he gets his aliyah to the Torah, they sing the song, V'shavu banim ligvulam, which is a beautiful thing. Okay, wonderful. But here's a question. Look at the language of Yirmiyahu. Stop, and he says to her, stop crying. You understand? Min I kolech mibechi. Stop crying. Ki yesh sachar vodech. There's value. There's merit to what you did. Question. What'd you do? Fair question. What did Rachel do? What did Rachel do that, shall we say, is so remarkable that Yirmiyahu says there's merit to what you did? Meaning, stop crying. We said Rachel, Rachel is crying over children. She cannot be consoled, right? She can't be consoled. Hashem says, listen, it's great that you're crying, but stop crying. Because what you did, what did she do? Did she cry? Is that what she did? Meaning, is crying the goal? I don't think crying is a goal. I don't think crying is ever a goal. It might have value. It might feel good sometimes. But it's not a goal. But what did she do? What did she do? And it appears that it's not crying. In fact, the opposite. Yirmiyahu tells Rachel, Rachel, stop crying. But there's merit to what you did. What did she do? How's it understood? So I want to show you this incredible secret in the words of Yirmiyahu. And I have this all in one page. I gave this shiur many years ago. I actually checked my notes. I gave this shiur 5 years ago. I gave this class 5 years ago. It was in the summer, so none of you were there. So the what's amazing about this is that there's actually a code. There's actually a secret here. And you only see the secret if you study the Hebrew and you see the text inside, which is why I even bothered with in English, because there's no point. But we'll translate, and I think there's an amazing thing. If we take the words of Yirmiyahu, the prophet, and we read these words very carefully, we're going to uncover a tremendous secret, and perhaps even something tremendously insightful that, I don't know about you, but I was not aware of. I was made aware by this, by one of a great teacher, Rabbi David Foreman. Could be you've heard of him before. You know, he's pretty awesome, and this is what he says, and I want you to join me in what I think is uncovering a really, really tremendous insight. And like always, if you don't get through it today, there's always part two tomorrow. So here we go. I'd rather go slow than rush, because this is pretty amazing. Here we go. Here's my thesis. The thesis is as follows. If you take a look at this pasuk and you actually work backwards, you'll be able to identify a very well-known situation that for sure Yirmiyahu is referring to. Remember, Yirmiyahu is coming thousand years later. So he has tremendous insight. He sees all the stories of Bereishis. He sees all the stories of Genesis, and he's able, and he understands that if you use certain words, if the prophet writes and uses certain words, he's telling everybody. We all know it's so much better not to tell a message, but to hint to a message, right? It's like a joke. If you have to explain the joke, it's actually a bad joke. If you just tell the joke and people laugh, you realize it's much deeper. And when you teach people things through messages and not direct, through thinking, it often has a much greater and long-lasting impact. And here it is. It's a subtle message, but a powerful one. Here we go. Where have we heard these words before? So we've heard these words. Kol Amar Hashem, Kol Birama Nishma. Well, guess what? If you take a look at the words, take a look at my mouse. Kol Birama, the voice up high was heard. Where do we see the exact same thing, but reversed? Meaning, Nishma, Rama, Kol. We see that over here. The Yosef story. What's the Yosef story? In the story of Joseph, he is accused falsely from Eshes Potiphar, from the wife of Potiphar, that she accuses him of acting inappropriately. And what does she say? Ki shmoa ki harimosi koli va'ekra. When she, what? Called out, right? She screamed. And what did Joseph do? According to her, she screamed and he dropped the clothes and she ran out. Okay? She dropped the clothes and then ran out. Interesting that it references it to there. Now, let's continue reading. Nehi b'chi tamurim. Let's imagine Rachel, for a minute here. And let's imagine Rachel's life. And let's say you're a mother. And you're a mother, and you're seeing what is happening to Yosef from far away. Because unfortunately, sadly, tragically, Rachel has already passed away. And she's looking at from heaven, and she's seeing what's happening to her child, to Joseph. And here is a major challenge. What is this challenge? In terrible predicament. He's being accused of acting inappropriately by the wife of a very powerful woman. Now, if you're a slave and you've been taken captive and your job is to be a servant, right? how much, shall we say, voice do you have in court? How much justice? How much are people really going to care about what you have to say? The answer is zero. So even though she starts up with him, if she accuses him, it's not going to go very well. So if you're Rachel, if you're Yosef's mother, and if you're anyone's mother, and you're seeing this situation unfold, you must be so frustrated, right? Must be so frustrated. And an amazing thing that happens. What does Rashi say? On the pasuk of the brach of Yosef, v'meruhu v'rabuhu, v'yestimehu ba'alei chitzim, says Rashi, what does it mean that his life was bitter? His life was bitter twice. Vayimeruhu achiv, vayimeruhu potifar, the ishto lasro. Meaning, if you want to talk about someone who had a bitter life, I will tell you had a bitter life. Yosef had a bitter life. So now I understand, if I'm Yosef's mother and I see my child suffering, what am I going to do as a mother? Now you understand why is Rachel crying? Because she sees her son suffering. When did she see her son suffering? Her son suffers twice. Her son suffers in the hands of Potiphar, which is the less obvious one, which is why I'm starting with it first. There's another reason why I'm starting with it first, because you'll see in a second. And there's a first time where, of course, as a mother, if you're watching it from afar, you are in tears. And of course, that was the first time I told you, the sale of Yosef, that episode, as we saw last week and the week before, is the second most important narrative in the entire Tanakh, and repeats itself in various forms over and over and over again if you just listen to the words. So here's this pasuk. So again, Yirmiyahu is saying, right? Kol b'rama nishma nihi b'chi tamarim. Take us back to the time where Rachel, the mother, was crying. When would Rachel cry for her own child? For Yosef, says Rashi. When? Rachel cried bitterly for Yosef twice. Of course, the classic one was Mechiras Yosef, when his own brothers sold him into slavery. And the second time, by Eshes Potiphar. So look at this. We have a reference to Rachel crying when? By kol birama nishma, ki hari mosi koli vekra. Or sorry, ki shmoa koli vekra. We have a reference to the first time Rachel cried. Or I should say the second time she cried. Do we have a reference to the first time she cried? Do we have a reference in the words of Yirmiyahu to the first time that mommy Rachel cried for her biological child, for Yosef? The answer is of course. Look at the next words, right? Me'ana lihinachem abanah ki inenu. Each one of those words, my friends, because we're familiar with the story, should jump at you and be like, of course I know where this comes from. Yirmiyahu is referencing the first time over here where Eshes Potiphar, and the second time, I like the Weinberg, it's a full family affair. That's pretty awesome. Yeah? Now, where did we see this the second time? Right? You know, maybe they give away like a car or something next time. Okay, anyways. That's a bad joke. People know what I'm talking about. If they don't, it doesn't matter. This is a reference to, of course, Mechiras Yosef. When? Look at the word lehinachem, to be comforted. Who wasn't able to be comforted? Jacob, right? When Yaakov heard that his son was devoured by wild animals, because, of course, he didn't know that he was sold, he was not able to be consoled. He was not able to be comforted. And look at the language. V'yakumu ko benosav l'nachamo. His sons and his children to be comforted. V'yema ein lehis nachem. He was not able to be comforted by his own children. Wow. Look at this. Me'ana l'nachem. Only two places in the entire Tanakh where this reference is in fact found. And what do we see from here? Clearly, Yirmiyahu is showing to us twice, where Rachel, for sure, had she been there, would also not to be able to be consoled, also would be crying tears. And that's what the Medrash says, that she cried twice. That's source 3. As Rashi says, there's two cryings, not to be consoled. Rachel cries for her children. Wow. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And again, you want to see more references? Kiyenenu. Again, go back. You'll notice we're going back and back in the story. What do I mean? Think about this for a second. Kobra ma nishma is the second time that she cried. The first time, Mechiras Yosef. We are going back in time in Sefer Bereishis, right? Maybe more Weinberg siblings will pop out. I have no idea, right? The whole notion here of what it says in Yirmiyahu is that they are referencing different stories and narratives, and we're going back in time. You'll see why this is important, because it's going to take us to a time that requires clarification that will give us an insight into literally unlocking a critical message. So if we go back in time, as we continue in Yirmiyahu, we go back in history. We started with Eshes Potiphar, where he was taken by the wife of Potiphar, and there was crying. Then we go to the story of the narrative before that, where Joseph was taken by the brothers, and go back again, Ki Einenu. Where does it say Ki Einenu? Very simple. When Reuven goes back to the pit, he says, Ki Einenu, referring to Yosef. He is in fact not there. Let's continue. Ko Amar Hashem Mini Kolech Mibechi. We continue reading Yirmiyahu. We're going further back in time in Bereishis. So here's what Hashem says. Mini Kolech Mibechi. V'inayach midima. Please stop crying. Why should I stop crying? Ki yesh sachar lefulasech. Wait a second. Ki yesh sachar lefulasech. That should also help me understand something. Where do these words come from? I will tell you where they come from. Continue to go backwards in the Torah, and we get to now to chapter 30. Interesting. When there's a son called Yisachar, look at the words. Vatomer Leah, Nasa and Elohim Sichari. Leah says, God give me my reward. Asher Nasati Shivchasi Liishi, because I gave my maidservant to my husband. Vatikra Shmo Yisachar. Well, doesn't that sound familiar? Ki yesh sachar lefulaseich? Ki yesh sachar. Sounds like Yisachar. Question. How was Yisachar born? What was the context of his birth? What surrounded him in him arriving into this world? Let's take a look at what took place. Now, here's a story. It requires a little bit of background information, which I'm going to provide you right now. And what's interesting, and this is why this is pretty amazing, the main story, the main explanation comes from Eicha Rabba. Eicha Rabba is the Medrash, is rabbinic commentaries on the introduction to Eicha, which unfortunately we're going to be reading, it looks like, next week, a week tonight, as Tisha B'Av is imminent, as today we are Rosh Chodesh Av, right? And the reason why is I believe the Medrash of Eicha, the rabbinic commentary on understanding the depth of the words of the Bible, the rabbinic insight is going to point us to a message all the way to Yirmiyahu. This is going to be amazing. Here we go. Require background information first on Yisachar. Bear with me. Here we go. At the moment, Rachel jumped up and turned to God and said, Galui lefanecha she Yaakov avdecha. It's a known thing that Jacob, your servant, loved me, incredible love, and he worked for me for 7 years. I'm going quickly because this, I'm going to go quickly. I can fit everything in, I think, in 8 minutes. Loved me greatly for 7 years. And what happened? And he worked for me for 7 years. And when it was my wedding, remember? You know what happened? I had a feeling my dad was going to be conniving. You know what I was worried about, God? That on my wedding night, you know what my dad was going to do? My dad was going to pull a fast one and love on my conniving father was not going to give me to Jacob, but rather Leah, my older sister. So you know what I did? I'm sure some of you might be familiar with this. Do you know what this, you know what I did? I gave him Masarti Lo Siman. I gave him a sign, and Rachel gave a sign to Jacob, saying, I'm going to give you a sign. This way you'll know it is me, right? This way, Kadesha lo yuchal avi lach lifeni. This way, what? My dad can't pull a fast one. V'achagach nichamti, and then I felt very bad that I did that. And it was the day of the wedding, and I knew it right away. My dad pulled a fast one. And what did my dad do? He brought Leah into Mary Jacob. And I knew this was going to happen. So you know what I did? I gave her the signs that I created, you know, the code 2461, that code, the sign or secret passage, knock, knock, who's there, right? Whatever the, what it was, I gave the sign to my sister. I couldn't, I just felt she'd be embarrassed if Jacob would realize that it was Leah. He'd be upset, he'd be angry. And so I gave the sign to my sister. And instead of me marrying her, what happened? Nichnasi tachet amita, went, and in the end, I had chesed, I was not jealous of her, I turned myself into dust, into nothing, even though you're competitors in many ways, and you are a God of compassion, says Rachel. And therefore, here we go, look at our pasuk, this is what the Medrash says. Kom Hashem, kobram an yishmanim and dirim, rachel mevaka, b'nem anad lecha, b'nay anenu. And it says, Ki yesh achar. Okay, what do we see from here? That what? This context says, why does Rachel merit? Why is Rachel merit to be the one to give a schus that the Jewish people will return home? Says the Medrash, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses all tried to plead with God. This is Medrash, Medrash Echa, saying, please allow the Jewish people to return home. God says, no, no, no. The Jews are exiled. They're punished. They do not deserve to come home. Says Rachel, she says, God, allow my children to come home from exile. Why? Because of what I did. What did Hashem say? That's the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Yeishachar lefulatech. V'shav mir zoyev shavu banim ligvulam. Question. Where did the rabbis get this from? Where did the rabbis get this insight of this simanim? It's not mentioned anywhere in the text. Or they just pulled it out of thin air? Hear this question? We have a rule when it comes to Medrash. They can't just make things up. They can't just be like, oh, where did they see money from? I guarantee you, if I were to ask you, I'm not going to right now over Zoom. If I had to ask you, right, how many of you heard from the over $100,000 Jewish education that your parents spent, how many of you heard of the Medrash saying that what was the great thing that Rachel did? She gave up the simanim, the signs, to her sister. Right? That's a great thing. That's what this verse says. Yirmiyahu. How have you heard that story before? I'm sure many of you heard it before. Where does it come from? It's made up. And I'll prove to you it seems to be nonsensical. Because if you take a look at the story itself, Rachel doesn't seem to love her sister so much. In fact, she seems to not like her sister. There's animosity. There's tension. So if the verses in the Torah say that there's tension between them, how can the rabbi say that Rachel loved her sister and decided to give her the simanim the night of her wedding? Because she was not jealous and she sees herself and she says, no, I'm so worried about my aunt, my dignity of my sister. Let her give her the code so that she can marry Yaakov. Where did they get this from? Yet, this is a well-known medrash, what I just told you. It's a medrash on our psukim from Yirmiyahu. And in fact, every name of the Shvatim, says the medrash, is referred to Geulas Yisrael. Every name of the 12 brothers, the 12 tribes, each name has some connection to the redemption. What is the connection to Yisachar? Guess what? Our pasuk, our verse in Yirmiyahu. Yisachar, ki yesh sachar lefulaseich. The Medrash is realized there's some connection between Yisachar, the birth of Yisachar, and the merit. Ki yesh sachar lefulaseich. And some merit. Yirmiyahu is telling us, if you want to understand Rachel, if you want to understand Rachel, you want to understand the simanim, you understand where did the rabbis get this from? Where is it hinted? I will tell you where it's from. It comes from the birth of Yisachar. If you understand the birth of Yisachar, you'll understand this incredible secret of Rachel's tears. And what did she do that was so special and unique? And how did the rabbis understand this to mean that she gave over a code, that she gave over the simanim? She gave him something. If we could figure this out, we could find incredible insight into how Medrash, the world of the rabbis, needs to be layered upon the verses of Tanakh, and you'll see something quite powerful about human behavior. And you'll see something quite powerful about how we can bring redemption, how we could bring Geula, how we could bring salvation to ourselves, to our families, to the world, to the Jewish people, if we behave like Rachel. But for that is going to require a little bit more analysis. And we're going to have to go and really read very carefully that terrible night that took place, that dark, evil night that took place, where Rachel stepped out and placed her sister there, and that terrible, difficult evening where sisters, and there was a sense of tension, that night, that evening has a redemptive moment, that has a redemptive evening, that evening of darkness and of potential hatred and competition has a night of compassion, beauty, and redemption. But for that, my friends, you're going to have to come back tomorrow to discover. So, cliffhanger. If you cannot sleep tonight, if you're unable to sleep, if you're tormented about what does this mean and how are we supposed to understand what happens to Rachel and the birth of Yisachar, what's the context of Yisachar? Why is Yisachar ki yesh sachar, right? Ki yesh sachar lefulaseich. Look at the story of how Yisachar was born if you want an answer. If you can't sleep at 2 in the morning, open up chapter 30 and maybe you can figure it out. If not, if you can't sleep, or if you can't sleep, regardless, hopefully you can't sleep, then ever's wondered, like, I don't know why I hear these questions. I can sleep just fine. So I get to sleep very nicely. Hopefully you can too. Regardless, all jokes aside, I will see you tomorrow at 12:30 for what I'm hoping will be a really, really interesting insight and a bit of meaning. Have a wonderful Wednesday, Chodesh Tov, a good new month of Menachem Av. May we be comforted by our Father in Heaven. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.